Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the Inside the Orange podcast. So my guest today for the podcast is my great friend, and this will be his fourth time on the podcast. It's Godwin Godo Di Battista, Team Godo on Instagram, and he's talking about his walk that he completed in August, 165 miles from Portishead to Southend in the UK. And we're going to be talking about his walk that's coming up that covers Malta, 61 kilometres of Malta being walked for Platoon Who Cares. So we are going to have a great chat with him. As I say, it's his fourth episode that he's ever recorded on the podcast, and it's his first one since season one. So we're now in season three, and we're looking forward to having our chat with our great friend. Before that, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast.
To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange WHATS. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.
So, as I said in the interview, I'm delighted today to be joined by my great friend, his fourth appearance on the podcast, and it's only season three, but it's fantastic to welcome Godo, Team Godo, to the podcast. How's your morning been so far?
Hello, everyone. Oh, my morning just got seriously better because you got in touch with me, mate. So I want to say a good morning and a happy Tuesday to everyone.
Awesome stuff. So, firstly, I need to start this with a thank you. So this is your fourth appearance on the podcast. I'm in season three, but I wouldn't be in season three if people like yourself didn't take a chance on the podcast. So first and foremost, thank you for doing the podcast all the way back last year when we talked about your original walk. So thank you for that, because you've led me to such a wonderful place.
You're very welcome, mate. You know, this podcast is really, really, really important. And I follow the episodes that you do, and they're absolutely amazing. And you know, you tell it how it is, and you share things with people, things that I have never knew myself. And it's so refreshing to see someone like Richard Stevens doing this for the community, mate. We really appreciate it. We really do, mate.
Thank you. So this isn't about me today. This is about you and all the amazing things you do. But I appreciate what you've said. So let's give a reminder to everyone. We started this back during a training for an 166 kilometer walk, Bedford to Brighton last year. We've now talking in between two walks, one that's going to take place this month in Malta, and the one you've just done, which was 165 miles coast to coast of the UK, Portishead near Bristol to Southend. How do we get to this point, Godo? How did we get here?
Well, we got to this point because last year the walk was very successful, and we had a lot of love coming from a lot of people, and we did do a nice handsome donation towards Children with Cancer UK. And then this year I wanted to raise the bar, and we thought, right, Team Godo, there's a lot of us, let's do it a little bit bigger. And what better way to go from one side of the UK to the other side, so the southwest or the southeast, and take in all the different cultures and all the different places. And yeah, we thought it might not be doable, but with the support and with the love that we got, we did it. We managed to do it, and I'm delighted that we have actually given more funds that are very important to Children with Cancer UK.
Brilliant. And, you know, we're going to get to the second walk, but I wanted to focus this first part on this walk for Children with Cancer UK. Why them, Godwin? What is the draw for you? Just again, we've talked about in the past podcast, but for people that haven't been lucky enough to hear that, why Children with Cancer?
Well, Children with Cancer is very close to my heart, Richard. It's close to my heart because when my dad was ill in hospital with cancer in Malta back in 2002, I believe, and I was visiting him in one of the days, and I saw this young girl in hospital with cancer as well, and she had everything that my dad had, but my dad was much older, and she was a young person with a future ahead of her, you know, a young person that needed to grow up and follow her dreams. And when I saw that, it kind of left a big impression with me, because I, to be honest with you, maybe I was naive when I was younger, but I never associated cancer with children. I never did, until I actually witnessed it for myself. And I firmly believe, and I really, really do believe, that if someone out there had to witness it firsthand, a child battling with cancer, it would change their life forever, because it did change my life. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, to raise funds for charities like Children with Cancer UK and the Malta one, which we will talk about soon.
Very soon there. And for people to know, it wasn't just a walk this year, was it? I mean, you've done car boot sales, you did Tough Mudder, which is a 10K assault course. Now, I know you, Godwin, I know for you, that is, you love a challenge, but you know, it wasn't just the walk, was it, if that's fair? It was more important to raise as much as possible.
Yes, it was a combination of events that led to this year's event in the UK. A combination, like you just mentioned, with Tough Mudder and car boot sales, one or two of them, and then the walk. But what's important also, Richard, is it's not just about the funds that you give to brilliant charities like Children with Cancer UK. It's raising awareness. You know, you talk to some people and they would say, yesterday, I was not a parent of a child that had cancer, and I never used to even take any notice of it. I never even used to bother. But today, my child's got cancer, and I want to support you for what you're doing and raising awareness. So the thing is, it's something that is happening, but there's not enough awareness from it. And the more awareness you raise, the more people will support, the more people will be aware, and the more people will be warm and loving towards the families. They must go through a horrendous time when they get the news that their child has cancer out of the blue, just like that, you know. And then, you know, we have us, hashtag Team Godo, and you, that we raise awareness. We there for them, and that helps a lot. It's not just about the money. It's about the awareness and the support, I believe.
And I love the vision of Team Godo, which is that the end is to make sure as many children as possible ring that end of treatment bell. Is that fair? Have I phrased that right?
Yes, that's very, very correct, mate. Yes, you know, the ringing of the end of treatment bell is an amazing, magical moment for the families and the doctors and the nurses that have been with that child, sometimes for up to 2 years of treatment, even more. And that ringing the bell is like crossing the finish line in a marathon, isn't it? It's like an achievement. And I could just imagine the joy and the jubilation and the relief of everyone who loves that child and who's been with that child. So, yeah, it's very important that we get more of those end-of treatment bells. And we do that with having the funds to get better treatments and kinder treatments, and also increase the survival rates, because obviously that's very important, that, you know, okay, a child has cancer, but it's important that the child will grow up. It's so important that they follow their dreams. So yeah, it's what Hashem Din Godo do is more than fundraise with the money. It's also different things, which is like the awareness we're mentioning, which is so important. You know, as much support as you can get, that child has more of a chance to make it and survive.
And that's so beautifully put, but I also want to add in a little bit for other challenges you've had. So as much as you did the physical challenges, how difficult has it been to get all this arranged in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of time where you weren't allowed to do certain bits, you've had some challenges. How have you remained so positive with that?
Well, you do get your challenges, but if you're determined to do something, and if you know that something is going to be impacting in a positive way towards, frankly, towards strangers that I don't know, you know, people that I've never met, you know, but the actual feeling of reward and the actual feeling of satisfaction that you have done that and you have managed to do something good in life. You know, I believe in good karma. I believe that, you know, you sow and then you reap what you sow. You know, my dad, God bless his soul, used to teach me that, you know, do good in life because then you get good done to you. And as long as I am doing the things as hashtag Team Godo, which is myself and all of you people out there that have been so kind to support, I will carry on doing things, not knowing what the next challenge would be here in the UK, but some things in the offing for next year, which we can't reveal just yet.
Okay, that's a question I've got for later on, but I appreciate you saying that. But I'm sure there is something just in the background that we know that something's going on. We know. You never stop. Oh, so let's talk about this walk then. So one person I do want to talk about, and I hope you don't mind, is Mrs. DiBattista, Colette, who supported you on this walk. I wanted to know what it was like, though, for her and how we, from your perspective for her. The last walk you did, you had a medical episode, and then she has to leave you for 40 miles a day, four times in a row. How did that go? Because I remember watching her Instagram, and obviously there was a lot of concern. Can you think about that yourself when you're walking, or do you have to put that out of your mind? What's the thoughts with all that?
Yeah, I must start by saying that my family and Colette, Mrs. DiBattista, you mentioned there, they are my rock. You know, without having a rock behind you, you cannot do certain challenges which are demanding. I would say that this year, I found it more difficult than I expected because it was much longer than last year. Okay, and by the end of it, it took my body a lot longer to recover. So basically, I spent the best part of 3 weeks to 4 weeks until my body was back to some kind of normality physically. So having people like Colette behind what we do is so very important. And I do appeal to people who want to do any challenges of any sort, they need to have a rock behind them that will support on the day. For what happened last year, we all know what happened and we'll not go back into it. But this year, obviously Colette was very concerned because it was a bigger walk. It was a bit more challenging, if you like. And I think that her support came through stronger than last year. Whereas last year, when the episode happened, she wanted it to all stop there and then. She wouldn't have it, and my family, and quite rightfully so, you know, thinking about my health for them was very, 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 very good of them and very important that they were worrying about that. But this year, I had all their support again, and Colette was there from day one, supporting and bringing the supplies and all sorts, you know. And when we got to the finish line on day four at Southend, and Colette was there to welcome us, for me, it was a team effort. I keep saying hashtag Team Godo. It is literally a hashtag Team Godo, because without their support, without my daughter Sophie walking the last 4 hours with me, I would have probably started to give up, because physically on the fourth day, I saw from London exhausted already, tired. So the support mentally and physically during that 4 day was so important. So yes, people like Colette, I would say that they're so important, and thank her from the bottom of my heart, because we could never do these challenges without having these people in place to help out in the background.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I've put you on the spot there with that. And, you know, again, it is difficult when you do undertake a challenge. But like you said, the support is the most important thing. And you raised a lovely point that having Sophie walk that last bit on Southend, and the emotion when we watched the Instagram live of that last bit again. You were all crying or close to tears and all that. But what I saw was a family unit. And that was such a wonderful end to the walk. And it's lovely that you said that. Obviously, your daughter, Charlotte, joined for a short part as well. And
Yes. She joined this walk this year. She joined for a short part, and there was a valid reason why she couldn't walk much longer than she would have on this year. So Chris and Christelle and Malcolm, they all joined at some parts, you know. So yeah, you know, it's lovely support. You know, it's nice to see, and when it's a surprise as well, you're not expecting them to be walking with you. You know, it's really very, very, very big boost, you know, to your confidence and your morale. Yeah, it's very, very important.
So what was your favorite part of the walk? Was there a favorite moment you had? Was the sights that you saw that you weren't maybe expecting to see, or were better than you thought they were going to be?
Yeah, that walk back in end of August was really, really, really beautiful. The fact that setting off from the southwest, and then you get to Bristol and you get to their famous bridge, you know, and you're walking and you think, oh my God, the beauty of this. I mean, I actually videoed it, but you have to actually physically visit the Bristol Bridge. You know, it's just so historic, you know, and going through them and then through Bristol. So, you know, you've got a city there, and then you walk rural, and you could see the beauty of the UK, the beauty of the different localities, you know, of the UK. And then, you know, you have a lot of rural, and then you've got the little towns and little villages. And then you hit the big city, London, and you can see the difference between the rural and the smaller places, you know, and then going into the big city, that's London, you know. And then the little funny episodes, which obviously we did have last year, a bit of dancing and stuff, and we did this year, but there's quite a few funny episodes. It's when the police actually, you know, blues and twos, and they saying to me, you know, if you only had the South End, go down the London Road. And, you know, they were really game for it. You know, it was brilliant, you know, from them. And another occasion is after leaving Chippenham on a rural road. And I thought I was a really, really strong walker. So I'm walking along and plodding along. And then this professional walking person who obviously does walking as a racing, like race walking, is literally flying past me walking, and I'm thinking, how the heck is he doing that? He was literally going, and I couldn't actually video him a little bit, but I thought, oh my God, he's so quick, you know. And so these little episodes. And there was one time where, you know, we were using Google Maps, and they kept telling us to go on the A13 towards Essex. Well, it's a busy road with no pavement, so I'm actually heading down there, and Sophie and Malik says, we're not going down there, you know, we can't go on a dual carriageway, look at it, it's full of lorries and cars, you know. And so we had to detour, and it took us a little bit longer to detour around, you know. But this walk this year was very, very, it was beautiful in the fact that we saw so many different aspects of the English way of life. You know, going from cities to rural to villages to cities again, and then, you know, and then to the seaside on one side, to the seaside on the other side. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I had another episode of the South End beach being sandy. This time it was at Portishead. Portishead, I didn't know what kind of beach Portishead was, but what I found there was rocks and a mud bath. So I was literally wading through mud to my knees to try and get a swim, and the water was not very deep. So again, you know, me being me, you know, I didn't do my homework about the beach, and I was thinking I was fine some kind of beach we have in Malta where you got the sea and the sand, and it's a golden sand, you know. Yeah,
welcome to the UK. Now I just need to put a little disclaimer in there though, Godwin. What does it say clearly on Portishead beach not to do in it?
It says sinking mud, and do not enter.
Do not enter. Right. So just as a little bit.
I didn't see that sign though. I really didn't see the sign. I only saw it when I came back, and Colette was in tears, thinking that was it. Was not going to see me again. She saw me stuck on the mud. I couldn't get my foot out, and then she thought, right. But She showed me the sign, and honestly, I was so excited about the walk starting and everything like that, that I didn't see the actual sign, mate, you know. But that's one for the future. Read the signage and follow the signage.
Right. So just as a disclaimer, do not try that on Portishead Beach. You know, Godwin is a trained professional in at ignoring signs by the sounds of it. But yeah, that was quite a funny start to the walk. We're seeing like this big thing that says do not swim, and there's you in the water. And it's like, okay. And there's some other bits in that. So I just want to say that we know each other. We work together. Happily again, we work together. Yes, I can say that now. But when we watch you walk, we look like you walk that look at that professional walker. When we see you walking around at work, that's what you, that professional walker you said who was racing ahead of you, that's what you look like to the common man, to layman, us. So just a bit of a reminder, this is a realism thing from what we see from you. So just in that.
Oh, that's true.
And the other thing I wanted to say, you were really kind in May this year for us. You walked the Walk for Autism in MK. And I remember
that was lovely.
And it was so thankful for you to do it. But I remember you saying, even though we both know Milton Keynes quite well, it's fair to say, that how much we didn't actually appreciate that we walked around and we saw, when we slowed down and walked around, we saw so much of it. Do you know what I mean? And that's what you got, that pleasure that's you true. Got walking the length of the country. You must have had so much insight that we miss when we just drive down these major A roads.
The thing for those people who don't know us, we work for Ocado, so we deliver foods to people's houses with our vans. Milton Keynes, we do a lot of deliveries there. Myself, I've done so many deliveries, but huge difference to driving to a house and a huge difference walking through Milton Keynes and finding gems like that water park that we went through, you know. And, you know, I drove past there and used to see the water and go over past on the A509 or one of those roads. But I never knew what was in there, all the facilities and all the different people having fun and swimming. And, you know, so when you walk, and I do encourage people to, you know, do more walking. Walking is so important for the soul, so important for being positive and keeping fit. You know, to get out and walk and discover even the neighborhood. You know, some people just drive only, so they probably don't even know what's in their neighborhood. Because when you walk, you take certain paths that the car can't take, and that's where you find the beauty of it all. You know.
No, and it was, and as I say, that scale from what we just saw in Milton Keynes compared to what you must have seen from the west to the east coast of the UK must have been just so rewarding in that sense. We've talked about your favourite parts. Is there any parts of the walk that you didn't enjoy?
I think the most parts of the walk that I won't say didn't enjoy, because I enjoy even negatives. I know that sounds weird, but when you have a negative, what's important is turn it to a positive straight away. So it's easy done, isn't it? You're having a bad day, you know, and then if you're going to carry on with a bad day, bad things are going to happen again. But if you change your stance and you think, right, that's it, put that in the bin, let's start again, then you get into a positive. So I would say the third day, when I arrived in London, in Kensington, I slept at my daughter's that day, and Colette brought me this like bucket with some salts and stuff, and I put my feet in it. And I thought, I can't get up and walk again. And, you know, on the bank holiday Monday, I just literally went to bed thinking, how am I going to walk tomorrow? How am I going to do it? And then funnily enough, I fell asleep, and they've got, where they live, it's like apartments, and they're at the ground floor. And the fire alarm went off in the middle of the night. So at 3 a.m, we're sleeping on the sofa in the living room, and the fire alarm has a big red light above on the ceiling. And suddenly, this the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. So I went like, what's going on? What's going on? So they're saying, oh, it's a fire alarm. So, you know, that night when I was thinking, oh, I can't walk next day, I'm so tired already. And the fire alarm went off, which disrupted my sleep, and having to get up at 7 a.m. to start off again, you know, and that was, I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy that, but it was really a big effort to do the London part of it. And what really kept me going was I was walking through the iconic touristy, if you like, places in London. So that kind of got my spirits up, you know. And then when you kind of see Hyde Park, and then you move on to Park Lane, and then you've got Marble Arch and Oxford Street, and I started to get my energy back in my legs, looking at, you know, because I hadn't been to London for a while due to pandemic, and so it was so lovely to be actually in the city. And then when I was getting closer to Stratford City, which is where the West Ham Stadium is, where the Olympic Stadium is, obviously more interesting, iconic places. And by the time I got to Barking, which is right next to, it's in East London, and you're heading towards like the Essex border, I knew that I was going, we were going to do a stop at Ocado, our workplace, but in Dagenham, and they were going to have a welcome, you know, and all that. So that kept me going. So there was episodes. So this is what I meant about being negative in the evening and waking up with a fire alarm, waking up feeling like S-H-I-T, and then going, you know, there was episodes which, because you do good, you get good back. I was getting good vibes back from the walk. And then when I was getting extremely tired, hitting Essex after Ocado, that's when Sophie and Malcolm joined as a surprise. So then Sophie actually finished it with me to Southend. So those episodes turned what which would have been something I did not like, but there was anything I did not like. So it was like a little negative into a positive day. And getting there in the finale, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, and Southend was actually buzzing. It was, you know, it was a bank holiday night. It was buzzing. There was a lot of expensive looking cars, and they've got this thing about cars there, you know, the engines, and they've got their engines open, and they're, you know, and so seeing all that, it helped in the last mile, actually. And yeah, so yeah, there wasn't anything I did not like, but there was that challenge of the third to fourth day, really.
No, and it seemed to go so well in the sense of that, you know, from the outside looking in, everything seemed to kind of flow for you. You know, it went the right way. You know, again, we don't dwell on what happened in the last one, but if you compare the two walks, this one, and I say this with a kindness heart, this one looked easier but longer, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. I must say, Colette, we mentioned Colette earlier, she was concerned on the last day. She was very concerned because obviously she knew I was really tired. I literally crawled on day three. I crawled to Kensington, literally on my knees. I was so tired. But it all went well. And at the end of the day, it was a very long walk, but a very, very important and rewarding walk. Because again, we had a lovely collection of funds, which is going to go to important causes, really.
Yeah, and just to finish on, did you feel that you learned anything from this walk this time? Did you feel that you learned anything else about yourself?
I really learned from last year's episode, actually. So last year, the mistake was not enough breaks and obviously trying to do what is impossible, walking for 17 hours without literally stopping for more than five. So this year, I was determined that the breaks have to be there. But what we planned it ahead. So I think what was different and what I learned this year for a future potential bigger event was that plan your logistics well. If anyone out there is going to do something challenging like that, plan your logistics well. Make sure you're planning your breaks and you're taking your breaks. And that would definitely help, you know, for a successful event. You know, physically, I was 58, on Wednesday, you know, and obviously at 58, your body can only do so much, you know, and when you are challenging your body, you have to take in consideration that you have to do it sensibly, and that you can actually manage to do it without having to worry your family that your health is going to suffer, you know. So yes, this year definitely was a learning curve, that it was successful because it was planned well.
And I like that. And I remember messaging you after the event, and what was really kind of good to see was you messaged back and went, it's taking me longer to recover from this one, Rich. Well, you know, I'm giving myself a few days. And I love that, because that just showed, I know the Godwin of old would have finished that walk and gone, right, where's my next shift? What am I doing next? But you actually, I felt that you took the time at this one and recovered. And that's only led you to be able to do this next walk that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. So that for me is a growth that I saw in you. So there is, I can see that, definitely.
Thank you.
No worries. So for the people listening on audio, we're doing a video today, so it is available on YouTube. So Godwin is very, very decorated in his charity fundraising wear. So he's got a cap on that has got Children with Cancer. And if we look at his T-shirt, he's got a charity called Patino Cares. So Godwin, let's move on. Let's talk about the second walk. So firstly, foremost, you need to talk about it. So what is the second walk we're doing, or you're doing this month coming up?
So second walk, when I started the UK walks last year, and then this year was another success story. A lot of family and friends in Malta said, would you think about doing a walk for a local charity in Malta? And that kind of got my thinking cap on. And I thought, oh, that would be nice, you know, something for my home island, home country of Malta. And I thought, right, the charity that I am choosing to support, hashtag Team God, they will support this year, is called Putino Cares. Now, Putino Cares Foundation started out as a children's cancer charity. So what they did was there was a children's cancer ward in hospital in Malta, which needed doing up, you know. So they got involved there and they changed it into what today is called the Rainbow Ward. And they, you're literally like in a Disney musical now, you know, they put all these different, which is very welcoming for the children, and they organize activities for the children in the hospital. But more than that, what Putino Cancer Foundation was doing back then, in the beginning when they were founded, they had this vision where, because specialist treatment for child cancer in Malta was not available, they had to fly the children to the UK to get their treatment here for the cancer or the illness that they were going through at that point. But they knew that this would be a big financial burden on the families. Now, don't forget, we spoke about it in the UK as well. Child cancer affects the family and their loved ones, and it's a big shock to the family. And it's something that they have to deal with suddenly, just like that, overnight diagnosis. You have to deal with it. So, what Putino Cares Foundation did back then, they thought, right, let's help these families go to the UK and not having to at least pay for their accommodation. So what they had done, they started out renting some apartments in Sutton, which is close to London, where they needed to be. And then they were sending the child and their loved one for the treatment, staying for free in the apartment without having to pay anything towards the accommodation. And that started off that way. Fast forward the years, Putino Cares Foundation, which is a very well-supported and loved charity in Malta, fast forward the years, and they actually purchased the apartments in Sutton. They got all the funds from different events that people organize, and they actually purchased and owned the apartments in Sutton, where children would go and stay for free with their loved one while they're having treatment. But not only that, because of what Putino Care Foundation was doing back then with children, they started getting people that were in children going for support. So there were grown-up people who had a medical issue. We're going to Rennie, who is the founder of Putino Cares, and saying, why can't you help us? You know, we need help as well. We're not children, you know. So what Putino Cares Foundation did, and this is why I love them so much for what they do, they opened up to anyone who has got a medical issue or illness that need treatment in the UK will go and use their apartments for free as a support. So it opened up massively from children to the population, if you like, of the Maltese Islands. And nowadays, I was speaking to Rennie the other day, they actually help up to 90 people per month with this accommodation. And their next goal, and this is what we are trying to do at Sashing Digodo, helping and raising more funds for them, is to have apartments in central London as well. And the plan is for them to purchase the apartments so that they can help even more people. So that is what Putin Ukraine's Foundation is. It's pretty much very big help to the Maltese islands population when it comes to anybody having needing treatment abroad in the UK with the accommodation aspect of it. Plus, obviously, looking after this Rainbow Ward for the child cancer, which is still obviously ongoing.
So obviously the two charities are very similar in a certain sense, but obviously
they are very similar.
Patino Cares has obviously branched out and is helping a lot of people as well, you know, in different, as you say, in different ways. So with your fundraising in Malta, so you're okay for me to say you're originally from Malta. Is this something that you're going to do for the first time, or is this something that you're re-picking up back in your homeland? So fundraising in Malta, how does that, what's the history?
That's a good point that you're mentioning, mate. So my fundraising passion, if you like, started in Malta. So in Malta, back in the early 2000s, I believe, I used to manage a group of talented youngsters called the Young Talent Team. And if they're listening in today, I want to say a big hello to all of them. Now they're grown up. They're grown up adults with children. But back then, they were a very talented group of kids. We used to go and do different shows and dancing and singing, a bit like animation, if you like, you know. And we actually organized, and I led the team to organize three festivals in Malta, big festivals, which were called the Heart of Gold Festival. People in Malta would remember these. Where we had different Maltese stars coming to sing and do comedy and stuff like that. And back then, we were collecting funds for people with disability in Malta, a place called Ratsettah Bibaria, which helps and houses people with disability in Malta, down in Marsa Scala. So those were three very successful events that we organized back then. And then after that, we used to attend to events which Putino Cares used to organize. So, for example, they organize a volleyball marathon or a football marathon and stuff like that. So we used to be invited to do entertainment for free in the hope of fundraising for them in that way. So fundraising for Putino Cares is not new to me as Godwin, as Godo, because with the Young Talent Team and the young talented kids back then, in the early 2000s, we did a lot of collaborations with Putino Cares. Fast forward 20 odd years down the road, and because this Malta Walk is at the moment being organized fully, I have actually been in touch with people from back then that are still doing their TV shows and their radio shows, and it's so nice to actually reminisce and remember that these people all those years ago were so very kind-hearted and big-hearted, and they're as much so now in 2021, you know. So it's my charity work goes way back to my Malta days when I actually used to live in the island.
So talk us through, so from a Brit, I've never been to Malta. So what does the walk entail? Is it top to bottom? Is it,
Malta consists of three islands. So you've got Gozo, which is the second biggest island, which is to the north, which is where I'm starting, right on the north coast of Gozo. And then you have Comino, which is a small island with a hotel there. There's the famous Blue Lagoon, beautiful blue, clear sea, which is very busy with visitors in the summer and locals alike. And then you've got the main island, which is Malta. I think from north to south, it's 27 kilometers. So it's not a big island. You know, it's quite a condensed island, if you like, you know. So many beautiful things to see in Malta, different localities with different characters. The churches in Malta are a big thing, you know, cathedrals. Malta is a very big Catholic country, you know, so religion plays a very important part in the island. You wouldn't go to a village or a town in Malta without having a church there, and every church is. You see one church and you see the other one. One is more beautiful than the other one. You know, it's not a competition as such. It's because of their dedication to the actual church. And every town or village has a patron saint. And that patron saint, mostly in summer, some have in winter, have their like feast. And also they have the fireworks to celebrate that patron saint. You know, so that's the way things go on the Maltese islands, which, you know. Our walk will start right up in the north, and then we have to board a ferry for half an hour, because obviously they're separated by the sea, by the main islands. And then we carry on from the northeast part of Malta to the southern part of Malta. But I did mention 27 kilometers, yet our walk will be 61 kilometers, and people will think, what the heck? Why so much longer? So what we're doing is, we are taking in two locations, which are from my life in Malta. So we're taking in St. Paul's Bay and Bujaba, which is where I kind of spent my teenagehood and my parenthood right up until 2015, and where actually my house is at the moment still. And then we're taking in Attard, which is a village where I grew up and I was born, and I spent my younger days playing football with the local Attard FC team, you know, and so that's why the detour rather than a straight line and an earlier finish, you know. I personally wanted to have a reminiscing walk going through localities which are close to my heart from my living in Malta.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And we were talking earlier on about the first walk, about that day where you felt you were struggling, but then that difference in having the sights, having the family, having things like that, just give you that energy to walk. So even though you're walking further, you are going to have that energy. I am so also very pleased that you did say you were getting the ferry to cross the water, because I was thinking, I hope he's not going to start swimming as well. You know,
I was a good swimmer, I might consider that. But I am one of the worst swimmers ever. So that is one thing I'm not good at doing, is swimming, Richard. I'll be honest with you, mate. I can paddle and I can swim a little bit out, but to swim across from one island to another, that is definitely very, you know, very tricky for me.
I'm glad, as I say, it is a blessing. It is a very good blessing to know that is going to be...
I must say that I have had a lot of friends and family and people I know in Malta already concurring to join the walk. So for example, and I can reveal this for the first time on the podcast, I have one of the mayors of the local towns. When I walk through her town, she has pledged to walk the rest of it with me, which will be about a 4-hour walk. So I'm getting this kind of support, you know, from people in Malta, which is very encouraging. I've got friends in Meliha, which is one of the towns we're going through on the day. And again, they're pledged to walk throughout their town even a bit further. So the initial reaction from people has been very, very positive. You know, I was invited to two major TV shows, which I will attend the week leading up to it. One of the main TV news teams will be catching up with me a day before. And yeah, hopefully we'll raise awareness again and raise funds for Pacino Cares. But the love that you feel when you create these events is really, really, really very, 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 very good. And you would have known that from our walk with autism, which you organized. When you get the love from the people, it makes you more energized and it makes you feel better, doesn't it? So thank you to everyone who supported the UK walks and everyone who's supporting my motor walks for this year.
Brilliant. And obviously you're going to go on TV in Malta, so obviously they're not going to be English interviews, but if people did want to see the interviews and the publicized parts, can people get in touch? Can people stream that kind of thing?
Yes. You can stream online. You know, TV, Maltese TV is available to stream online. I would suggest people to look out for our Instagram pages. You know, we post a lot on there. And I'm sure closer to the time, the link would be in if anybody wanted to tune in. It will be predominantly in Maltese, but I have told the producers of the shows I might do a little bit in English just for our English family and friends that would be following. You know, won't be much in English, but there will be a few things here and there. You know, but yeah, it's very exciting. You know, a lot of love coming through, and it's going to be such an awesome feeling to be walking on the islands. I've never done anything like this on the islands, like a walk, you know, and it's going to be all new. And again, I'm probably going to come across places, and I lived in Malta until 2015, driving, a lot of driving and jogging in our location where we live, but actually walking from the end of Gozo, top end of Gozo, to the bottom end of Malta, I am certain we're going to come across streets, roads, and places I never knew existed, literally.
And it is going to be different, but how is it going to be different to the UK? So again, from not being to Malta, what are we looking like for weather in November? Is it going to be colder? Is it still relatively warm at that time of year? Because obviously in your summer, you can peak at 40 plus degrees. So what are the challenges that are different from the UK walk?
Okay, so the one of the main challenges I feel is that in Malta, it's a very built up, both of the islands are very built up. You do have rural, but because obviously of the condensed size of the islands, you haven't got that much rural. So it's going to be mostly towns and villages, pretty much one into the other, you know, give and take a few kilometers from those 61, it's built up areas. Now I know for a fact that one of the assets of Malta is its people. You know, the people in Malta are so friendly and so chatty. And my main challenge is definitely going to be not being able to stop to chat people. When people will see us, people who are supporting the walk physically with the Putino Care shirt, they're going to want to know what's going on. And the challenge is, you know, to have brief chats without getting stuck in one place, because we've set ourselves a 14 to 15 hour length of walk, because we're doing it in the one day. Mm-hmm. You have to bear in mind there's a 1 hour taking up by the ferry, give and take. Although it's 35 minutes longer, the crossing roughly, but still you got to wait for the ferry to come in and all sorts. I think the main challenge will not be physical, but will be not being able to talk in and stop and talk and chat a long time to the people that will be. It will be a Sunday, so there will be a lot of people around, not working or no school, you know. And what I am intending to do, I would really love this to happen, would be if anyone wants to chat, I would just wave them on to walk with us for a short period, and I would be able to talk as much as they want, but while we are on the move. So, you know, we think that might work, and I'm fingers crossed. Obviously, the main challenges will be in St. Paul's Bay, which is where I live for a big chunk of my married life, and then Attard, which is my village where I grew up, because there's going to be people that I know very well, and that would be the main challenge, where I would have to let them understand they can walk and talk, but we can't really stop and talk. You know,
I get that, and I understand. And obviously, you are someone that you will dedicate time to people, and it is going to be quite a challenge to you that you can't
You can't. I know you'd love that chat. I know you would love the chat in another time, in another place where you haven't got a deadline of 14, 15 hours. You know, you would be the person. But again, you're doing it with the right place. You're doing it from love. And like I say, if you can try and get people to come with you for a little bit, then you'll have more than enough time to talk. So I get that and I understand that. So you've mentioned, obviously, you lived in Malta for a long time. So you said, and very well for the podcast recording, by the time this goes out, that you will be another year older, but it's actually at time of recording, it's your birthday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So am I allowed to mention your age? Did you mention your age? I'm not sure.
Yes. Yes. Well, I will be 58 tomorrow. 58 years old of helping people, and even I would say annoying people. I try to be as pleasant as possible, but we all have our moments, don't we? And we all kind of do the wrong thing and annoy people at some point. So right. I would hand on heart apologize to anyone who's listening if I annoy them in any way. I certainly never mean it, ever. But most of it, I think I try to be nice and kind to people and friendly with people and, you know, and smile as much as I can and help wherever I can. Mm. So, yeah, 58 tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we don't need to discuss it in detail, but obviously you've got some nice things lined up with some of the family, so that's lovely. But the reason I said your age, right, is because you are 2 years away from a milestone birthday, but is that slowing you down, or do you not even think about that kind of thing? Do you not think about getting older?
Is no, it's not. Age is a number. I believe it's definitely a number. And if you keep yourself fit and you do the right things and you eat healthily, and then you obviously your age does not matter. You know, it's how you feel inside, isn't it? In reality, you know, you could see a 20-year-old that's got the wrong diet, that's got the wrong attitude towards fitness and physical fitness. And, you know, they could be out of breath by just walking 10 meters, you know, because, you know, of the situation. So I encourage people to get off the couch, go and do their walks. You don't have to jog and do marathons, you know. I follow you when you do your walking and you're talking, you know, on your Instagram, you know, and that's something people should follow, you know, that example of what you do, you know, and getting people to be good and getting people to do the right thing, and, you know, and not come 20 years down the line, they've just turned 60 or 70 years old, and then they think, hang on a minute, oh, what's happened, you know, they need to enjoy life and live life and go out there and see the outdoors and enjoy nature, you know, that's the way I feel about life, you know, and 58, you know, next year, you know, there's two, if not three, main challenges happening next year. You know, one is we cannot mention at the moment. You know, one will be a collaboration next year. The second one will be Children with Cancer UK again. There's a little secret behind that one, so I can't mention anything. And then possibly do something in Malta again, you know, next year. So, yeah, going into my 59th year, you know, and if you ask me, the 60th is a milestone, isn't it? Being 60. So you can just imagine what hashtag Team Godo and myself will be planning for such a big celebration of 60th, you know. It will definitely be a massive event for that year, you know. But in the meantime, next year, it's very exciting that something's going to happen next year. And I just encourage people to keep close to what we're doing on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, that's a lovely little teaser there. And I also feel for Colette as well from that at 57th year, one walk, 58th year, two things, 59th year, maybe more than that, 60 years, this is going up. So when you're 75 and doing 15 events a year, poor Colette.
Yes, she is. She's got a heart of gold, Colette, you know, and she always supports what I'm doing, you know. I mean, I've put her through a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout our lifetime, you know, I nearly lost my arm through a lift accident at work back in Malta, and they had to sew everything back together, and I couldn't use my arm. Then with physio, 3 months later, I started clearly. Today, it's as strong as ever. But you know, she has been through a lot because I like to help people, Richard. You know that. I've always, you know, when my kids used to go to school in Malta, I used to organize their sports day. Literally, I used to do it by myself. I used to organize a village. I used to get everything done. I used to organize the bars for them, you know, and different, you know, and I've always been like that. It's just, when you have a DNA of helping, it's very difficult, you know. It happens at work. You are there at work. You know, I would be the first one at work to go and help someone else if they need help. No matter how my day is going, it could be going wrong. But if someone needs help, they're going to find Godot there to help them. And that's whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's neighbors, you know. And I don't think things will stop. I don't think age will stop somebody's DNA from changing. You know, I don't think it will, to be honest.
No, I love that. So look, the most important thing is how people can find you. So let's have websites, let's have social media, let's have every way that someone can follow this next walk or see what you've done this year and already if they've just found you for the first time. So every handle you want to give, what do you want to say?
Well, if people want to follow on Instagram, and a lot of what we do goes on Instagram first, but we also use other mediums, social medias. So at Instagram, you've got at Team Godot. You've got Facebook at Godot27. Twitter is at Godot27. We just discovered TikTok, which I think millions of people knew about TikTok. Godot here only just came across it. So hands up, sorry, TikTok, but it's a brilliant app, and we started to develop things on TikTok, and that's at Team Godot. And then obviously all those links would be on the website, which is teamgodot.com. And that's where we update past events and upcoming events. Anyone who wants to join the walk in Malta, maybe somebody here in the UK wants to have a little holiday, come down there and walk with us. And like that, they would discover the Maltese Islands in the best way, because they'll be walking through places that the tour leader won't take them, that their hire car won't take them. So if you want to discover Malta in the best way possible, come and join Godot and hashtag Team Godot on the weekend of the 21st of November. It's a Sunday. Come for the weekend. You can get flights from one of the budget airlines. They're not expensive. You know, I can give up to 2 beds for free for people to sleep over without having to pay accommodation if they wanted to support the walk from the UK. And I could arrange for them to get picked up from the airport if they want to just come for the weekend. So here's an open invitation, which nobody knew about. Here in the UK, family, friends, you want to walk in Malta, you want to come and be part of it, you will have the best time of your life.
There you go. So you might have some chauffeuring to get sorted and things like that. But I'm sure, as you say, those words are very true if they come out of your mouth, mate. That's 100%. So we've talked you both your walks. Is there anything else you wanted to say today to people that just might inspire them to get out and follow in what you do or follow what you do?
Yeah, what I want to say to everyone who's listening in and on this podcast is that tomorrow is a new day. So if today you're sitting there, you're not feeling well, you think, oh my God, you know, I can hardly walk, you know, what am I going to do? I think that tomorrow morning, get up, go out there. As I said before, you do not have to run or jog. You can just walk. Go out there and do physical exercise. Do a walk. Listen to the sounds of the birds and the nature. Find yourself a park and go in and have a bit of a downtime, you time, love yourself time, you know, away from what we are, you know, seeing in the news and all that, you know, and because it tends to be a bit negative when we're watching and listening to news. Get out there. You should never give up. One of our motto at Hashtag Ningodo is don't give up. I was watching a documentary about Sir Alex Ferguson the other day on Prime Video, and his never give up and don't give in was so I related so much to what he'd done with his life, and after his medical moment, and then how he came back from that. We should never give up on what we do, whether you are 28, 38, 48, 58, 68, 78, 88, you know, I'm going to be 58. You should never give up. You know, we will all have our ups and downs. Life is not all rosy as we would like to think. You know, we do have ups and downs, but if there's a little negative, change it to a positive. And you can do that by getting out, going out there, having walks and doing, you know, doing, we know about things like walking football and stuff like that. You know, there's so many activities and things one can do in the outdoors, come rain or shine. I mean, there's nothing better than walking in the rain. I love it. You know, when it's raining, and I'm sure you relate to this, Richard, because you do a lot of walking. When you're training and you've put your hoodie on and stuff, and such a feeling, that water on your face, and it's like so refreshing. And, you know, you never think about, you know, when you walk, you never think about problems. You don't. You don't have time because there's so many things going on. You've got a squirrel running across there, and you've got a deer running across there, and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, people, please get out there. Never give up. You know, life's too short not to enjoy it. You know, enjoy every moment. Be kind to one another. Be helpful, you know. You know, kindness can come in many ways. You don't have to give money to donate money to be kind. Being kind is just knocking the door at your neighbors and saying, are you okay? Do you need anything? You know, two doors down, we have an elderly neighbor in her late 80s, you know. Walk past there. She's at the door. Have a chat with her, you know. Me and Lola do that. We sit there on our evening walk. We'll chat to her, and you can see her spirits lifting because you're being kind just to spend 5 minutes chatting to your neighbor. So there's different ways, people, to be kind. So I suggest do that no matter where you live. Be kind to one another, you know, and do the little bit of kindness will go a long way. Not just for the people you are being kind to, but for your own soul. And that's what I would like to say.
Lovely. And lovely little name drop for Lola, the wonder dog there as well. You know, she's such a big part of Team Gutter as well, isn't she? Your wonderful dog there, bless her. Look, I've just got to say thank you again. You know, thank you for inspiring people. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for being a friend, a brother, every part of it. Just, you know, everything that I've gone through in the last few years has always felt like you're a big part of it. And thank you is all I need to say. People need to go out, and guys, please, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, please go and find Team Gutter, go and find out about the walk, and just go and help Patina Who Cares, Children with Cancer, whatever you need, go and help these people, because this guy will not stop until his vision is done, if that's fair to say.
Godwin, I must say, Richard, first thanking you about giving me the opportunity again to share a lot of things that I probably would not have shared before with everyone. But I must say, you have got some exciting episodes coming up for your podcast, because I've been following. So I do suggest to people to get onto that, because there's some exciting things happening with Inside the Orange, you know, really exciting. And I encourage you to keep doing that, because you enlighten and make us feel much better. And we learn more about, you know, autism and child cancer and all sorts of different things in life that a lot of us don't even know about, you know. So, you know, very excited to be following your podcast and what you've got planned, mate. You know, big thumbs up from hashtag Team Godot, and thank you for the opportunity today, mate. You know, bless everyone out there who supports your causes and your things and hashtag Team Godot. We're very similar, me and you, what we do, and obviously we will continue to do things moving forward.
So a massive thank you to Godot there for telling us all about his fundraising for 2021. Please make sure you look in the description and show notes to find his website, social media handles, and just wish him all the best for the rest of this year and beyond. That's it for everything today. So as always, thank you for listening. Goodbye and take care. And as always, for one last time to hear how to get in touch with the podcast, please stay tuned to hear that.
To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.